Thank you everyone for coming. So we're going to do another series on Tehillim. So we're looking at a different perek of Tehillim each week. So this week we're going to look at perek Chaf Zayin, which we actually say throughout Elul and Tishrei. So it's not timely for right now, but I thought while we're doing the series, it's something that we actually do say every single year and multiple times a day for 6 weeks. So it's something that's really worth knowing, and it really did change my Elul. Like when you used to say it, it's just something you say and you speed through it and you just say it because that's what you say in Elul. But when you actually stand back and understand what each pasuk means and what it's talking about, then suddenly it made it a lot more meaningful and made it a lot more worth saying. So just a brief introduction for people who haven't been here before. So Tehillim is written by David HaMelech, and most perek of Tehillim, they fit into a category. So there's categories such as David praising Hashem, then there's David crying out to Hashem through because of hard times, then there's him talking about Torah, talking about Eretz Yisrael, talking about his own personal experiences. So there's all different types of Tehillim, and it's attributed to David HaMelech writing it, but it's also, there are other authors. The one we're looking at tonight is Le David Hashemari, that it's a Tehillim of David. So this one is something that David wrote. And if we first, what we're going to do is we're going to read through the Perek of Tehillim so we get the whole picture, and then we're going to break it down and understand it pasuk by pasuk. So we'll go around and everyone can read a pasuk. You can choose Hebrew or English or both. If you read Hebrew, read it in English also, or you can just do English. So we'll go through it, get a picture of the whole thing, and then we'll break it down. So do you want to start, please, Emma?
Of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. From whom shall I be frightened?
Ekarav alai meraim leachol et basari tzarai ve'ivi hama li hama keshelo ve'nafilo. When evildoers draw near to me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies against me, they stumbled and fell.
My
boss. Nice.
If a camp encamps against me, my heart shall not fear. If a war springs up against me, in this I trust.
One thing I ask the Lord that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to see the pleasantness of the Lord and to visit his temple every morning.
Do you want to read English also?
No.
Okay.
I'll read English for you. He will hide me in his tabernacle. On the day of calamity, he will conceal me in the secrecy of his tent. He will lift me up on a rock.
And now my head will be raised over my enemies around me, and I will sacrifice in his tent sacrifices with joyous song. I will sing and chant praise to the Lord.
Shema Hashem kuli ekra b'chaneni v'aneni. Hearken, O Lord, to my voice which I call out, and be gracious to me and answer me.
Mm-hmm.
On your behalf, my heart says, seek my presence. Your presence, O Lord, I will seek.
Al tester panecha mimeni al tet be'af abdecha azati hayata el tis titsheni be'al te'azveni elai yeshai. Do not hide your presence from me, and do not turn your servant away with anger. You are my help, do not forsake me, and do not abandon me, O God of my salvation.
For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord gathers me in.
Instruct me, O Lord, in your way, and lead me in the straight path because of those who lie in wait for me.
Deliver me to the desire of my adversaries, for those witnesses and speakers of evil have risen against me.
Had I not believed in seeing the good of the Lord in the land of the living.
Hope for the Lord, be strong, and he'll give your heart courage and hope for the Lord.
Thank you. So if we look at what we just read, it seems that there are two completely different Perek of Tehillim. On the first half, David sounds really confident and happy, and he says like, oh, why should I be frightened of enemies? Hashem will just protect me from them, and I'm safe, and everything's good. And then suddenly, halfway through, and it's so that would be like a Mizmor B'tachon, where David shows his faith, and he's feeling confident in his relationship with Hashem, and he's talking in third person, that he's talking about Hashem. He's like talking to an audience of people in that, like, oh, look how great Hashem is, and he's spreading the greatness of Hashem, and he's talking about it. Like, he's feeling confident, and he's got an audience, and he's ready to spread Hashem's name. Then suddenly in Pasuk Zayin, in the seventh sentence, suddenly it goes, Shema Hashem Kali, and he cries out, he says, Hashem, listen to my voice. And suddenly it completely changes, and it goes into second person, where David is speaking directly to Hashem, and he starts saying, like, Hashem, don't abandon me, Hashem, don't leave me, Hashem, don't forsake me. And he's saying, even though I have enemies, and Hashem, how do I know you're going to protect me from them? And suddenly he goes from this like confident and everything is perfect and Hashem is obviously going to save me from my enemies to being, how do I know that Hashem's going to save me from my enemies? And this becomes a Mizmor Eitzara, crying out to Hashem in a time of hardship. So Rav Hirsch says that the theme of this perek is the thoughts of David of what he's gone through his entire life. So David had every type of emotion as he went through his life. He had poverty at the beginning of his life. He had wealth when he became the king. He went from childlessness when the first child of Bathsheba died, to having lots of children and referring to Shlomo, who became his successor to the throne. He had rebellion. Some of his children rebelled against him, Avshalom particularly, where we see there are a lot of stories, like a lot of Shmuel is talking about how Avshalom rebelled against him and he was on the run and he wasn't able to have his kingship like as it should be because his children were trying to take over his kingship. And also talks about his strength and his health, and then at the end of his life he was ill. And this perek of Tehillim describes where David drew his strength from. Through all the good times and through all the bad times, what kept David grounded and connected to Hashem, that he always had such a strong connection to Hashem no matter how good or bad things were. Because we know that when things are going well, sometimes you can get off track because you become overconfident and you forget that it's really coming from Hashem, and you start to think like, oh, all this wealth, all this greatness is coming from me. And on the other flip side, when things are going badly, you sometimes don't feel that connection to Hashem because you feel like Hashem has abandoned you. And so how did David stay so strong in his connection to Hashem even through the hard times? And so what we're going to see is throughout this perek, what kept David so connected. So if we look at Pasuk Aleph, we see that it says, Hashem Ari V'Yishi, that Hashem is my light and my salvation, Mimi Ira, from what shall I be afraid? Amez Chayai, and Hashem is the stronghold of my life, Mimi Efchad, from what should I be frightened? So it seems to repeat the questions, from what should I be afraid and from what should I be frightened? Mimi Efchad and Mimi Ira. So what's the difference between Yira and Pachad, that the Mizmor seems to be repeating it, but that actually the Malbim teaches that every single word is significant and no words are just repeating. They each have their own meaning. So the Malbim says that Yira is from known things. When you know you have an enemy, you know a war is coming, or you know that in your personal life, if you're having a fight with someone, or you know that something's going to happen, mostly like if you have an enemy and you can tell they're going to attack you. So that's like a known fear. And that's what we're saying, Hashem protects us from a known fear. And then you have pachad, which is an unknown thing, like a natural disaster, an earthquake, a tsunami, something that you can't predict happening, that Hashem saves us from that also. And so we feel, when we feel connected to Hashem, he's saying, what should I be frightened of? If Hashem is my light, Hashem is my salvation, I don't need to be afraid of anything. And so he said, what David is showing us, that when you feel so connected to Hashem and you fill your heart with love for Hashem, with love and fear for Hashem, and you only have that fear for Hashem, then there's no room for fear of anything else. And so where he really feels that no external force can harm him because everything comes from Hashem. And so if he believes that it's all from Hashem, then nothing, he's not afraid of anything else. So how is he so sure that Hashem will protect him? The Maharal teaches that intellect comes from the mind and action comes from the heart. So when you think about things and you have, like, you study on an intellectual level, many thoughts can go through your mind, some positive, some negative. It can be, is it really coming from Hashem? How will my enemy be able to defeat me? But then it has to go through the neck, and it's like filters through to the heart, that David was able to filter through only the thoughts of Hashem protecting him and Hashem being the one to cause everything in the world, that when it came to action and when it came to what he actually believed in and felt, he only felt that it was coming from Hashem. And that's how he was able to get close to Hashem. And that's something that we have to aspire to also, that yes, we always have thoughts running through our head of, is it really Hashem and how could Hashem do this to us? But to focus on only the part where we believe that everything Hashem does is for a reason, and then that's what we act upon, and that's what we believe on in our heart, believe in our hearts. That's what we make our actions carry out from. So, and then the Malbim says that one who clings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, Hashem clings to him and protects him from suffering. And we know that David was always so connected to Hashem and always thinking of Hashem, to the point that when it was time for David to die, the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, came to David, and there was not one moment where David was not thinking about Hashem and not thinking words of Torah, that the Malach HaMavet could come and take his neshama, his soul, away from him. And so, and the Malach HaMavet couldn't come and take David's soul from him when he was learning Torah. Like, when he's learning Torah and completely connected to Hashem, there was no room for the Malach HaMavet to come and take his soul. So he actually had to make a distraction to stop David from thinking about the Torah. And what he did was he made David stumble. And for the millisecond that David was focusing on his balance and not focusing on his Torah learning, that's when the Malach HaMavet took his soul. And like that's what we have to try and do, that every activity that David did, even though David couldn't sit and learn Torah all day. David wasn't someone who sat in the Beit Midrash and sat and learned Torah. He was the king of the people. He was focused on their economic decisions. He was focused on war decisions. He was constantly going out to war. He was a king of battle. We know that there was no peace during his lifetime. He was constantly going out to war. And yet he still was so connected to Hashem, to the point that he was learning Torah all the time. And that's what we have to do. We have to try and take our mundane physical activities and we have to try and elevate them to a point that they're still connecting us to Hashem. And that comes through exercising to be healthy, to be able to serve Hashem better, and eating food, like cooking, like making Shabbos food extra special so that we can celebrate Shabbos better. It's about the intention behind all the actions that we do, that yes, we are constantly involved in physical activity and we can't always just sit and learn Torah, but we have to elevate it to the point that we're doing it for the sake of Hashem. And that's how we can elevate our activities. And Rav Hirsch says that, and then Rav Hirsch looks at the other side where we have the repetition of Arivi Ishi, my light and salvation, and Hashem is my Oz Chayai, Hashem is my stronghold. So what he says is Arivi Ishi, my light and my salvation, is when we have that light bulb moment where we decide that I want to make a change, that you see something in your life and you say, I want to change it for the better. I want to increase in my mitzvah. I want to increase in my Torah study. And it's something that you have that moment that you want to change it. And Me'oz Chayai is that the stronghold, like Hashem will be the stronghold of my life, that fear nothing, that if you're doing it for the right reason, if you really have the right intentions when you want to try and improve on yourself, then, and it's coming from the right place, then Hashem will be with you and Hashem will help you make it happen. So that is Pasuk Aleph. Then if we move on to Pasuk Bet, we know that David is talking about being fearless and that everything's going to be good, but Pasuk Bet gives us a context to that. So the context of David's fearlessness is war, when he's going out to war. So we see that he says, when my enemies come out to attack me, then they're the ones who are going to stumble and fall, and Hashem is going to protect me. And the Da'at Mikra says that there are three different stages of the enemy coming, that first, the enemy comes closer and you see them coming towards you. Then they actually surround you and are ready to fight. And then the third stage is when they actually fight you. And there's three words that describe the enemy. There's mireim, so evildoers, ra'ah. Then there's tsarai, which are adversaries, and ovai, my enemies. And these three words are parallel to the three words in the first pasuk where David is saying, like, Hashem is my ori, yishi, and my oschayai. Hashem is my light and my salvation and my stronghold. That even though there's three different types of enemies, Hashem has three different ways of protecting us and giving David that fearlessness. And Rashi and Radak say it doesn't matter what type of enemy comes. Doesn't matter if they're evil, like if they're evildoers, if they're enemies, if whatever type of adversary they are, it doesn't matter. Hashem will protect you. And Ibn Ezra says that why is David so sure that Hashem is going to be able to, that Hashem is going to protect them? Because he looks at the next pasuk where David says, the one thing I want is to sit in the house of Hashem. And if David is so sure that he's going to be able to sit and dwell in the house of Hashem, then he's already looking beyond the war. And he has so much faith that Hashem's going to help him in the war that he'll be able to sit in the house of Hashem. So he's not even worried about the war. He's worried about what he's going to be able to do after the war. And David kept a record of all the difficult situations that he went through. And we know the record is his Tehillim, and also we have the record of it in Sefer of Nevi'im, Shmuel, and Divrei Hayamim, that he kept a record of all the nisim that happened to him, so that when a difficult situation would come up, he would able to think of all the nisim that Hashem had done for him and draw strength from that. And so if we go on to Pasuk Gimel, third Pasuk, he says, if an enemy camps around me, then and a war should rise up against me, Bezot ani vateach. In this I'm going to trust. What's this? It seems like that's already like the next sentence. Like, what's this? This is something like you have to be able to point to it, and it has to be physical. It's something that's there. Something you can say, oh, this is what I trust in. What is it that David trusts in? The next pasuk Daled, that Achat Sha'alti Me'et Hashem Ata Avakeh Shifti Bevet Hashem. He has one request, and his one request is that he wants to live in the house of Hashem. And we know that David didn't have the schus, didn't have the merit of being able to build the Beis HaMikdash, because he was a king of bloodshed. So he was the one, and it's not fitting for someone who spilled so much blood, even though it was for Hashem and even though it was a good thing, but his hands were like covered in blood, that Hashem said, you can design the plans and you can make all the plans for it, but your son Shlomo, thank you, will be the one to actually build it. And we know that Shlomo's time was very peaceful, and he built the Beis HaMikdash in a time of peace. So David was saying, not that he just wants to stay in the house of Hashem, but we actually have to try and be a house of Hashem. And we know there's a famous pasuk, V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham, that Hashem says, make for me a mikdash, make for me a temple, and I will dwell in them. What does it mean in them if we make one building? That each person is an individual mikdash, and each person should try and make themselves into a place worthy of Hashem dwelling inside of them. And also, even us nowadays, we had a Beis HaMikdash and we had that physical building, but it stopped. We don't have it anymore, and we lost it. And yet, we still have that capability for all of us to be a place of Hashem's presence. And it's a good thing. Then David's saying, like, he's got one request and he wants to stay in the house of Hashem. It's something that it's hard work, but it's something that's worth it for him. So it's like someone who's told that they have to carry mud from one side to another, and to carry mud feels so useless and it feels really heavy and it's really hard. And yet if someone was told to carry diamonds from one side to the other, and when they get it to the other side they get to keep the diamonds, suddenly it doesn't seem so hard anymore, and it's something that's very easy to do because you see the value in it. And that's what David felt when he was going through the hard slog of war, and he wanted to get to the other side, he wanted to get to the Mishkan, that it wasn't so bad for him because he's carrying diamonds. He's doing it all because he wants to get close to Hashem. And this is how he'll be able to get close to Hashem. And the reward at the end of all the wars and would be to be able to sit in the house of Hashem and just have all the diamonds of his hard work. And then it becomes painless for him. And then at the end of the pasuk it says ulavaker behechala, that he wants to visit Hashem's temple every morning. So what does it mean? What does it mean every morning? If we look at the words that describe the time of day, erev means evening, and the word, the shoresh of erev is like eruv, which means mixed and a mixture. And that's what evening is. That's what dusk is, where that we can half see, we half can't. If you're walking on the street, you can't always tell if it's a pole or a man in front of you, and it's like the light is mixed, and what you see in the light, it gets confusing, and it's like a mixture. And so that's why it's called Erev, evening. Then we have Tzaharayim, which is afternoon, which Tzahar means to gleam. And that's the afternoon is when the sun is the strongest. And that's when you can see the clearest, that the light is gleaming down on you. So it's called Tzaharayim, afternoon. And then we have Boker. And the word Boker means to investigate, to look at. And so morning is when you can first see and you can first start to investigate what this new day is going to bring. And so David isn't just saying, oh, the Vakir Heichal, that he wants to come in the morning, but he's saying that he wants to come to the Heichal, he wants to come to Hashem's palace or to Hashem's Torah, and he wants to investigate and contemplate the various aspects of godliness. That's what he's saying, that first he wants to, so we see that he has one request from Hashem. He says, Achat Sha'alti, I have one request. But we see this one request is multifaceted and it increases in intensity. That first, he just wants to sit in the house of Hashem. That it says, I seek to dwell in the house of Hashem, Shifti Beveis Hashem. Then it goes on and he says, Benoam Hashem. He wants to see the pleasantness of Hashem. And then it goes on to be even more intense that he says, and I want to contemplate his presence and I want to understand his teachings. So that's what David, in his one request, he's really showing the importance of understanding Hashem to him. And then Pasuk Dalet is talking about, so what we've just read in Pasuk Dalet, it talks about the three forms of nearness that David wants to feel to Hashem. And that's like his spiritual connection, that if he can feel close to Hashem, if he can understand Hashem, and if he can look at Hashem's beauty, that's his spiritual protection that Hashem can give him. And then Pasuk Hey, the fifth sentence, goes on and tells us the three forms of physical protection that Hashem is going to give us or give him. So what does he want to do? He wants to hide in his tabernacle, Yitzpeneni b'sukkah. Then he wants to conceal me in the secrecy of his tent, yes, to any beseter ahala. And the third one is betsuyiram ameni, lift me up on a rock. So we think of a rock as a type of fortress, that he'll build a fortress around him. And besukkah is that he's asking Hashem to protect us in his sukkah. It's besukkah, he wants Hashem to bring him into to Hashem's place. That no, Hashem won't just protect him in, like, oh, David, you stay in your place and I'll just protect you over there. David's saying, Hashem, bring me in. Bring me into your place. Bring me into where you can protect me, because that's where David's ultimate goal is to become close to Hashem and be in Hashem's place. And then he says, Yoram Emeni, he wants to be lifted up, that he doesn't want to just feel like, oh, he's being protected from the enemies who are on top of him. He wants to be on top of them, that even if you can't, he's saying that even if he can't understand how Hashem is going to protect him, that he wants to be protected, that he's lifted up and he's even higher than his enemies, and that he doesn't just feel like Hashem's protecting him and he's like a victim and someone else is taking over, but he wants to feel that he's being lifted up, that he's making a difference. And he's saying you can't always understand how Hashem chooses to protect you, but he hopes that Hashem will allow him to be part of it also. And we can see that with our davening, that when we daven, we say, we don't know, Hashem, how you're going to get us out of this situation, but Hashem, we're asking you to please take us out. And we know that there are three answers that Hashem can give us, and we see it in the story of Nachshon Waxman, who was an Israeli soldier who was kidnapped. And he was kidnapped on a Thursday night, and the whole Friday, the entire world was davening for him. And then they said, his parents asked Friday night for everyone to light Shabbos candles in honor of him. And it was one of the first times where like the whole world came together and almost every Jew was like lighting Shabbos candles for this person. And then Matzah Shabbos, the whole Jewish world who kept Shabbos found out that Nachshon Waxman had actually died. And a lot of people had the question of, this was a time where so many Jews came together to daven for a person. How could Hashem not answer our prayers? And someone actually asked his father, like, how do you feel about this? That the whole Jewish community came together for your son. And And Hashem didn't listen, and his father said, and it's amazing that someone who's going through such suffering could have such an answer. And he said, Hashem does answer, but Hashem has three different answers. And he says, yes, later, or not now, or no, or I have something better for you. And he said, right now, the prayers that we did for my son, Hashem said no. Hashem said, I have something better for you, or I have something in the future. And it just wasn't meant to be. And so when we say like, but so you are many, Hashem, we want you to lift us up. We're saying like, Hashem, lift us beyond our own prayers, that we understand, we think we understand what we're davening for, but that you can take us beyond our own prayers to try and accept Hashem's ratzon and what Hashem wants from us, and that we know our prayers aren't wasted, but Hashem accepts them and gives us an answer in his way that he feels is best for us. So then we go on to, and now my head will be raised above my enemies. So he's saying that that now we see the confidence that even though he's got enemies around them, he'll now be above them and he'll be greater than them. And why? How does he feel greater than them? Because he feels Hashem's presence in him. And there's a mashal of a nursing baby who is, a nursing baby is fine during war. That a baby doesn't understand what's going on. And if he's got his mother and he's got his food and he's warm and he feels safe, then a baby doesn't understand what's going on out of the war. And the nimshal is that that's how we should feel about that Hashem is taking care of us. And actually today there was a picture going round of, with all the sirens and the rockets going on, there was a father trying to shield his baby, and another man came to stand on top during a siren, another man came and put his body on top of them to protect the baby even more. And the caption under the picture was that the baby was crying, like he didn't feel safe, and he felt that something wasn't right. But as soon as that other man came and shielded him, the baby stopped crying. That in that baby's little bubble, the world felt safe. And for that baby, that like he was protected and he stopped crying and he was safe. But we, as grown-ups, we understand that the baby wasn't safe. But that's how we should feel. We should feel that we might not feel safe, but then Hashem comes and Hashem shields us with his body, and we should feel safe even in the hardest circumstances, because we should feel that Hashem is taking care of us. But so that's how David feels in the first part of this Tehillim, and we see that there's really a lot of emunah, a lot of bitachon, that David feels like nothing can go wrong, everything's perfect. But suddenly, In Pasuk Zayin, we say, Shema Hashem kol yakrav chaneni v'aneni. Listen to my voice, Hashem, and be gracious and answer to me. He's like saying, like, Hashem, are you listening? Why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you talking to me? And this is my favorite part, because it's something that really is like, if you like concentrate on it while you're saying this to Tehillim during Elul, it like makes it so meaningful. That in Pasuk Chet it says, L'cha mar libi b'kshu panai, es panecha Hashem avakesh. My heart says, seek, Hashem says to us, seek me in your presence. Bakshur panai, seek me out. Hashem tells us to seek him out. And then we're actually meant to pause here for a second. And you're meant to stop, as in that's what it says when it says how you should say this to Tehillim. And then you should say, es panecha Hashem avakesh. Hashem, I'm seeking you out. What is it? It's Hashem summoning us. Hashem is saying, Bakshur panai, seek me out. We're actually meant to stop here, and we're supposed to focus, and we're supposed to think, what am I doing? Do I really think about Hashem? Do I really want to focus my life on Hashem? And only once you've contemplated and thought about that for a second and thought, am I really living my life for Hashem? Do you then continue and you say, Es panecha Hashem avakesh. Hashem, I want to seek you out. Hashem, I want to live my life for you. And that's Hashem summoning us, and we can choose to decide or run away. That every decision that we're faced with in life, you can choose either to face the decision and run with it, or you can run away from it and you can avoid it. And so Hashem is allowing us to decide, and that's the pause. That Hashem doesn't force us to seek him out. That Hashem says, seek me out. Hashem doesn't force us, but he allows us to choose. And we have, we're made of three parts. We're made of the Yetzer Hara, who would tell us to run away and not seek out Hashem. We're made of the Yetzer Tov, which is the good inclination, which would tell us, obviously, to seek out Hashem, not a question. And then we have the I. We have the ego, the id, whatever you want to call it, the self. And that's what needs to decide if we're going to seek out Hashem. And so this is where David stops, and he says, like, Hashem, are you answering me? Are you listening to me? And then he says, I have to choose if I'm going to focus, if I'm going to follow Hashem, and if I'm going to seek out Hashem. And then in Pasuk Tes, it says, so again, do not hide from me. Do not turn away from me with anger. David's saying, I've chosen you, Hashem, so don't turn away from me. Let me seek you out and let me follow you because that's what I've chosen. Sorry. And then in Pasuk Yod, it says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but Hashem gathers me in. So that's when things feel really hopeless. Like a mother and father are supposed to be the people who protect you. And David's saying, like, even my parents couldn't protect me. And what he's referring to is that David was meant to be a stillborn. When his parents were pregnant with him, was meant to be born a stillborn, and he wasn't meant to have any life. But Adam HaRishon, the first person, when he saw this through Ruach HaKodesh, he donated 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. So Adam HaRishon was meant to live for 1,000 years, but he lived to 930. And 70 years of his life were given to David. And David lived exactly 70 years. And so David was saying that even though his parents couldn't help, his parents had absolutely no control over David being born or not, or being born alive or not, and yet Hashem could help him. That it's never a lost case that Hashem could come to his rescue. And so he's saying that even when the closest people to you feel like they've forsaken you and you have no one and nowhere to turn, Hashem can help you still. That there's always that hope that Hashem can save you. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Hareni Hashem darkecha unecheni barach mishar leman sharai. Instruct me, Hashem, in your way and lead me on a straight path. So he's got two requests. He says, instruct me in your ways, like teach me, Hashem, what you want from me, and then give me, show me the straight path of what you want from me. And so that is, the first one is machshava, it's the head, it's teach me what you want. So you have to learn and you have to intellectually, what does Hashem want for you? So we're asking Hashem, teach us the halacha, give us opportunities to learn halacha, give us opportunity to learn Torah so that we don't just go through life blindly, but we actually know what you want from us. That there are so many times where we do things wrong just because we don't know the halacha. Hilchos Shabbos is so vast that almost every Shabbos we're breaking something because we didn't know it, or kashrus, and we make so many mistakes just because we don't know. And so we ask Hashem, give us the opportunity to know, give us the opportunity to learn halacha so that we can keep Shabbos properly, so we can keep kashrus properly. And then the second one he asks for is ratzon, is the heart. He says, show me the straight path. That there are many halachas that aren't straight for us, or that there are many halachas that can be kept in, there are many different forms of like paths of Yiddishkeit that are all legitimate, but which way is best for us? And so David's saying, show me the straight path for me, the best path of Yiddishkeit for me, that I can serve Hashem to the best of my ability. And as in all within the realm of halacha, but different people gravitate towards different things being important to them, and show me how I can live my life that I feel complete in what I'm doing, but it's also for Hashem, and I can live my life that I'm fulfilled, and everything I do is according to halacha and according to what Hashem wants from me. And people feel very discouraged a lot of the time because they try to serve Hashem, but they just make so many mistakes because they don't know and accidentally do it wrong. But it's not really discouraging. David's saying that it's not bad when we do it wrong. It's just we have to ask Hashem to help us do it right, and that we need Hashem to lead us, that we can't do it on our own. And it really comes down to davening and asking Hashem and keep striving to improve, because we're never going to be able to do it perfectly, but we have to keep trying. And it's not a bad thing that he's saying it's not a bad thing if we can't keep Torah fully and properly. We just have to keep striving and keep working towards improving and keeping halacha to the best of our abilities. And then he says, Leman Sharai, and he says, keep me in a straight path because of those who lie waiting for me, Leman Sharai, from my enemies. So what's that talking about? It's saying that when you try to make a big change, if you try and improve on something in your life and it's something that other people can see, a lot of times people will doubt you because they think like, oh, it's just like, it's not something that's legitimate, it's not something you're going to keep, it's just a fad, it's just a phase. There's actually a story that at the end of seminary, they tell us this, that when a girl went back to America after her year of seminary, her mother wanted to take her shopping, and she'd increased her levels of tznias and dress that she wanted to keep. And everything her mum showed her, she's like, no, I don't want to wear that anymore, and I want to try wear this. And she was like trying on all these clothes that her mum did not think were good. And the assistant in the shop could see her mum was getting really upset. And the assistant whispered something to her, and then the mum calmed down and the girl kept shopping and things were fine. And afterwards, she was asked, like, what did the shop assistant say to you that calmed you down? And the mum said, the shop assistant told her that she sees this all the time, that the girls come back from SEM in America to America and they're all like on a high level, and then don't worry, after a few months they calm down and she'll be back to normal and it's just a phase. Which is really sad, because when we make changes, it's not meant to be just a phase, it's meant to be, and people will doubt you and people will try and discourage you and say like, oh, you'll forget about it in a few months, and oh, you'll get over it, and oh, you'll go back to normal soon. And you will have people who try and try and discourage you from what you're trying to do. But really, we say, like, Leman Shara, like, Hashem, you'll protect me from these enemies, that if we'll be able to stand strong, because even though people expect us to fail, we feel closer to Hashem, that Hashem will be able to look after us, and we'll be inspired by Hashem and not put down by these other people. And then in Yud Bet, he says, do not deliver me into the desires of my adversaries. So he's saying that once I succeed, these jealous people who see my success will, again, they'll try and make false accusations, or they'll try and make it as if I'm not, like, they'll try and tell me that, like, oh, it's not going to last. But he's saying, Hashem, please pull me through. Like, deliver me from these, Altitneni b'nefesh sarai. Like, don't give me into the hands of those people. Like, keep me strong in what I believe in and what I'm trying to do. And in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, had I not believed in seeing the good of Hashem in the lands of the living? That kind of seems like half a sentence, that he's not really finished what he's trying to say. It's referring to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Chaim is referring to Eretz Yisrael. And he's saying there's two things that he saw in Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Chaim, it's a place of life. So literally he's saying it's the best, it's got the best air and it's the most healthy, which actually, my grandfather suffered from asthma, and he actually moved to Israel because of the air quality there, and moved to Arad and lived there because that was the best place for him health-wise. Like, the quality of air in Eretz Israel is just a different standard. And then, or Eretz Chaim, that Eretz Israel is the land of eternal life. That's when we have Olam Haba, that's where we're going to go to. That if we believe that Hashem is going to relieve us eventually from our pain and suffering in this world, and it's going to come, but like Mashiach is going to come, and it's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, where all Jews end up living and where we're all united together. But you have to have that emunah that time is coming, and that the time of pain and suffering is going to end, and we're going to have Mashiach. But it's an unfinished sentence, because we don't have that ending yet. And we don't know when it's going to be, but it's something that we're striving towards. And so how do we know we're striving towards it? The last pasuk, Yud Daled, 14, he says, Kaveil Hashem, chazak b'yameitz lebecha, v'kaveil Hashem. Hope for Hashem, be strong, and he will give your heart courage, and hope for Hashem. So it all comes down to trust, to hope, to turning to Hashem. And if we strengthen ourselves, then Hashem can strengthen us. So we see the repetition of Kaveil Hashem at the beginning, then Chazak V'yametz Lebecha. So Kaveil Hashem at the beginning is us strengthening ourselves, where we have the desire to come close to Hashem. Then Chazak V'yametz Lebecha, Hashem will make our heart strong. If we do that first pull, then Hashem will give us the strength. And then Kaveil Hashem, we have hope in Hashem. That's the second part, where Hashem helps us, that Hashem will give us the strength and Hashem will pull us through. Once we show that first inkling of wanting to become close to Hashem, then Hashem will pull us through. And so we pave the way, and Hashem determines the success. That Hashem says in Pirkei Avos that a person who, like the path that a person wants to go, Hashem will lead him on that path. So we have to show Hashem the path we want to go on. And even if it seems so outlandish or something that's so far out of our reach, as long as we show Hashem that we want to go on that path, Hashem will give us the strength, and then Hashem will add that extra hope for us also. And so what we have to do is we have to turn to Hashem while simultaneously doing our part also, and putting in our own effort and our own hishtadlus. And the mashal is of a baby walking, that when you're trying to teach a baby how to walk, You obviously want to help the baby and you hold them up and you lift them up, but then what do? You let go and you let them walk towards you, and you keep pulling away and you let them come towards you, so that the baby learns to take his own first step. So that's what Hashem is fully watching us over us, but we have to take our own first steps. And I feel like that's kind of like, I've felt that a bit with like my own child, where sometimes she like won't go to sleep and I know she just has to cry for 5 minutes and then she'll go to sleep. But the baby, like, you leave the room and the baby starts crying and they think you've left them. But really the parent is standing outside the room being like, should I go in? Should I not go in? I feel so bad. I don't want my baby to cry. And like, that's Hashem. Like, Hashem is standing outside watching us struggle and watching us in pain and wanting to like come in and catch you. But Hashem knows that what's best for us is to cry for 5 minutes and then we'll fall asleep or we'll grow. That Hashem stands back to let you take your own step forward. And so sometimes we're pushed beyond our comfort, but eventually that becomes your new norm. That once you, anything, you have to keep trying, you have to keep pushing beyond your boundaries. Like, we see it a lot in athletics, and if you're like trying to swim faster or gymnastics or something, you always have to work harder and try a goal that's a little bit outside your reach to be able to then reach that goal. Then it becomes comfortable and that becomes your new norm, and then you have another goal even higher so that you now have something else you're working towards. And so that's and also like a good example of that is with stretching and ballet, like flexibility, that you have to try, you have to practice every single day, and every single day you have to try and get a bit further till eventually you'll be able to do the splits and that will become comfortable and normal for you. And so that's what Hashem does. Every challenge that we have is Hashem pushing us a bit beyond our boundaries so that we can struggle through it and we can feel uncomfortable, but then it'll become our new norm, and then we can find a new struggle and a new challenge that Hashem gives us to keep working on ourselves. And another reason of Kaveil Hashem repeating itself is hope for that Hashem give us hope is the first time is we may not succeed and you might fall down the first time, but Kaveil Hashem, get up again, try a second time, turn to Hashem again a second time, because Hashem won't leave you. Like, Hashem will give you strength a second time. Or it can be two times, like during the good and the bad times. So we have Kaveil Hashem during the good times, that recognize the hands of Hashem in everything that you do in your life, and it also that prepares you for the bad times. That just when you just like you feel the presence of Hashem during the good times, Kaveil Hashem, you'll feel the presence of Hashem in the bad times. And obviously, it's not for someone to come and tell you during a bad time to just have faith in Hashem, it's fine, but it gives us strength in ourselves that when you're going through a struggle, you're able to gather that strength and say, if Hashem's with me during the good times, Hashem is with me during the bad times. And even though we say this Perek of Tehillim during Elul, it's actually quite relevant to the time period of now, which is Sfiras HaOmer, where we're counting towards Shavuos, where we see Hashem in two different ways. That we see in this Perek of Tehillim two different types of people. We see someone at the beginning of the Perek who life is really good, and the person's very confident and everything's great, and it's I'll first go back to it being why it's read in Elul, that it's a time of Teshuvah, that we have two different aspects of Teshuvah. That one is feeling confident, and you have to go into Elul and into Tishrei feeling confident in ourselves, that I do try and be a good person, and I am a good person, and like we're told in Shulchan Aruch, get up like a lion every morning, that you get up like a lion. A lion is not known for its meekness. A lion is known for getting up and feeling strong and confident and capable, and that's the type of life we're supposed to lead. But if it goes too far out of control, then you end up becoming overconfident, and it can either lead you astray, like we said, where you forget Hashem, or it can lead you to feel, oh, I can definitely achieve something, when you're not necessarily at that level of achieving it, and then you fail. But then you counteract that confidence with doubt, with feeling negative. Am I really such a good person? Have I really grown this year? Have I really tried my best to serve Hashem? But if you have too much doubt, then you start to only see the failures that you have, and you don't recognize the goodness in yourself. So too much of either are bad and can be dangerous. And so that's why we try and balance with the Perek of Tehillim. We have the confident person in the first half, and we have the doubtful person in the second half, and that's how we can really balance who we are and balance ourselves when it comes to doing teshuvah, that you when you ask Hashem for protection and when you ask Hashem to give us a good year, that it's that we're standing before Hashem and saying, like, I do want to serve you and I am here to serve you. And then with the humility also that I'm not perfect and I need you to help me, Hashem. So how does that connect to Shavuos? That when we received the Torah the first time, we received the Torah with confidence, with a lot of fanfare, with many miracles. We heard the lightning and saw the thunder. There was the sound, we heard the voice of Hashem. The sound like expanded throughout the world, so everyone knew that we were getting the Torah. And there were many miracles, and because of these many miracles, we felt confident that Hashem was there. Like, it was, no one at Har Sinai could deny that Hashem existed. Like, you saw, you practically heard, not practically, like, you did hear Hashem's voice, that you, no one could deny that Hashem existed. And that's how we received the Torah, that with this confidence and with this knowledge that Hashem is there and Hashem is with us, and you can't ever deny that Hashem is not with you because Hashem was right there. But then straight afterwards, we had the Egel. And suddenly, we didn't see Hashem as openly. And the next time that Moshe went up to Har Sinai to be able to get the Luchot, there was no fanfare. No one came to stand around the mountain. Moshe was told, just go up the mountain by yourself. And Moshe went up by himself, and he stayed for 40 days, and he came back down in Yom Kippur with the second Luchot and gave it to Bnei Israel. There was no fanfare. There was no party. There was no miracles. And so that's the second half of the Tehillim, where we don't always see Hashem openly, and that's where we have to come out and search out Hashem. The first time Hashem came out and said, I'm here, everyone, like, you can see me, here I am, and we just have to be like, oh yeah, here's Hashem. The second time, we have to actually put in the effort to seek out Hashem and to find him. And that's what the second part is, and it relates to our lives, that there are times where we feel Hashem very openly and we feel Hashem's presence and we can see Hashem in our lives, and that's when it's easy to connect to Hashem. And then there are the times where we're not so sure that we can see Hashem and we struggle and we have challenges and we have to put in the effort to seek out Hashem. And so I give everyone a bracha that we always feel confident in seeing Hashem and feeling Hashem in our lives, and that when we do have challenges, we're given the strength to be able to seek him out and to find him, and that when we say L'David Hashem Ari, it's got a bit more meaning. And yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.